This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Mike and the Mad Dog, Sports Radio 66 WFAN.
All eyes in a couple of places tonight in the NBA in the United Center, Bulls and the Magic. Game two in baseball, Yankee Stadium. Doc Gooden, obviously after his no-hitter, his first start since pitching against the Athletics. That great performance last Tuesday night.
And every time somebody pitches a no-hitter and goes back to the mound, they always hear the name of who, Doc?
Johnny Vandermeer. Yep. And he did it back-to-back, back in 38 with the Reds, and he joins us from Tampa on the Fan. It's nice to have him with us for the first time. John, Chris Russo, and Mike Francesa in New York. How you doing today?
I'm pretty good. We got a little rain down here.
A little rain, but you're doing okay, huh?
Yeah, fine. Yeah.
Now, do you root for guys like this? There was a story in today's paper saying that when Yul Blackwell almost did it in 47, you were hoping he'd get those last couple of outs against the Dodgers. So you root for guys to tie you a great record, huh?
Well, I think it's good for baseball, and I'm for it. And if it's going to help baseball, yes, I'm pulling for him.
And as an old-time guy, though, Johnny, you were quoted as saying today in the papers that basically, if it were up to you, Gooden wouldn't even be pitching, huh?
Sir, I can get that.
That Gooden wouldn't even be pitching if it were up to you because of his problems with drugs, huh?
Well, he was over 21 years old. He knew he was messing with the integrity of the game, and I just don't have much time for anybody who messes with the integrity of the game. I think that's the number one thing of the game.
I don't have any problem with that argument. I mean, as it turns out, a little different time, but I know where you're coming from. Johnny, how about your two great gems? Did you go into the second no-hitter at Brooklyn, Ebbets Field, thinking about, here it is again, I'm in the sixth inning with a chance for a back-to-back. Did you ever think about that, going into your second no-hitter in Brooklyn?
No, I really didn't, because I didn't know such a record existed. And I just went out for a shutout, just try to win a ball game. That was the name of the game, and that's what I tried to do. And I didn't go for a no-hitter in either ball game until the ninth inning.
In game one, in your first no-hitter, Johnny, we're talking with Johnny Vandermeer, who pitched two no-hitters, back-to-back no-hitters, a record that I think will stand for a long, long time, if not ever, and it's not been broken yet. He did it in 1938. Who hit the best ball off you in your first no-hitter?
Well, there wasn't, when I say this in all sincerity, there wasn't any real hard, tough plays in either ball game. I think the toughest play was in the second game when Buddy Hassett hit a line shot back through the box, and I knocked it down and picked it up and threw him out. I guess that was probably one of the toughest plays it was in the game. There was pretty much a routine game of baseball. There was a lot of ground balls.
So no diving catches by an outfielder? No great
no
play?
No crashes, no. Wasn't any of that, no.
Well, Johnny, how about, let's get to the first one, Crosley Field. Was that, I'm not familiar with it, my partner here, a little older than me, is. Was that known as a good pitcher's park or a good hitter's park, Crosley Field, Cincinnati?
It was known as a damn good park, both ways.
Both ways.
We probably had the best playing field in the game. We had a great groundkeeper. I guess him and Mr. Fabian at the Polo Grounds were probably two of the best at the time.
Wow!
And it was a good sized ballpark. It was 380, 389 in the right field and 330 in the left. But it had a little terrace in left, so you had to hit the ball.
It had a little porch in left field.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I remember that.
Johnny, did you have better stuff the first game or better stuff the second game?
Well, I had much better control in the first game, and second game I was much quicker.
Much quicker?
How many did you walk the first one?
I think I only walked about three.
And the second one you walked more?
I walked almost everybody in the ballpark there for a while.
Yeah, you walked a bundle in the second game, huh?
I walked about seven.
Wow. Oh, did you really?
Well, Gooden walked six the other night.
He did, yeah. Now, you in the next game, how much attention was there? Must have been an incredible amount of attention on you, Johnny, when you went out there after your two no-hitters to pitch your third game after that, right?
Well, that third game was in Boston on a Sunday afternoon.
Must have been, I went
3 2/3 innings there, and Deb Garmer's got a base hit off me through the box.
Wow. He went.
When you walked off the mound after three innings, Johnny, we think here we go again?
Well, I was glad it was over. If I had a $10 bill in my pocket, I'd have walked over and give it to Garms. I mean, it had to stop sometime.
And also, the second one, Doug, was first night game ever played in Brooklyn.
I know that.
How about pitching under the lights in that game?
Well, the lights were very good. They were excellent. In fact, they said at the time you could light a highway from New York to Chicago, so you can figure out how many lights I had in the park.
Now, they had lights in Cincinnati, right, Johnny, before this?
They had lights in Cincinnati, and so I guess it was around 33 or somewhere in there. But they only played one night game a year against each club. And then Ricky came into Brooklyn and he said, let's play every night.
I got you.
We're talking with Johnny Vandermeer, who pitched back-to-back no-hitters, 1938. Gooden to the mound tonight, obviously, as a lot of pitchers have done, countless number of pitchers have done, trying to see if they can equal that record. Breaking that record would be impossible. You'd have to pitch three no-hitters in a row. And I saw a quote from you, Johnny, saying there's not a week that goes by that somebody somewhere doesn't stop you and talk to you about that feat of yours.
Well, I'd say almost every day, not a week.
That's wow. Unbelievable. So your whole life you've been talking about these back-to-back no-hitters.
I'm pretty well versed in them.
Johnny, how about this? So we just got a little statistics from our historian here. Ninth inning of the second game. I guess you walked the bases loaded with one out, huh?
Well, I hadn't done that all night, so I thought I'd give him a little thrill of the full house.
Then you got Ernie Coy, and then you got Leo DeRocher to end it with the... On the last two outs of the game with Leo up there in the ninth inning, huh?
Well, I had Leo struck out, and the umpire behind him played Bill Stewart. Lom came up and shaded him out of the pitch. Lom was a big guy. Lombardi was a real big guy. Sure, and Bill was only about 5'9", I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And Lom was 6'3". And any time a catcher shades out an umpire, it's an automatic ball. I mean, that's part of their religion, I guess.
Right.
But I had him struck out, and then when DeRocher popped up, Bill Stewart was the first guy to the mound, and he says, if you didn't get it, he says, I blew it. So.
Wow, because he would have been strike three on DeRocher.
Well, after he called it, he realized that he blew the pitch.
Mm-hmm.
And it had about four or five inches of the plate. It was a real good strike.
I'm sure Leo was real quiet on the way to first, huh?
Leo was never quiet. Leo was a great ball player. He's a good guy.
How about watching these guys? I mean, well, tell us, Johnny, when you were in the dugout for the Reds with Blackwell. Now, Dave Anderson had a good story today in the New York Times saying that you were rooting for Blackwell in that second no-hit attempt. In the ninth inning, you thought he had an opportunity to get it, but then Stanky got the base hit. But you were rooting for Blackwell to get that no-hitter, huh?
Well, I was sitting on the front step, and I'd probably been the first guy out there to congratulate him, unless Blom beat me out there, and I could run like faster than Lombardi could.
But, yeah, you know, Stanky got a cheap hit, but then Jackie Robinson got a big, solid single to center field, huh?
That's right. Yeah, it was two hits in a row.
Did he knock Jackie? You know, there was one story that said that he knocked Jackie Robinson down after the base hit. Is it not true?
Somebody added a line in there someplace.
Not true, huh?
No, it's not true.
Not true. Interesting. Johnny, how about when you think about those two, you know, that tremendous week that you had, you're only 23 years of age, my goodness, from Jersey, And here it is, second year in the big leagues, and you're picking, pitching back-to-back no-hitters. I'm not too sure what month it was in, but that's awfully early in your career to have such tremendous success, huh?
Well, I had pretty good stuff. I was quick for a young guy. I was real quick and threw about as hard as anybody did, I guess. It was a little wild, and nobody took any toe holes.
Mm-hmm. Who was the toughest hitter you ever had to face, Johnny? Not in those two particular games, but overall, who was the toughest guy that gave you a lot of trouble?
Walker Cooper. He used to get mad because the ball didn't go over the fence. It only go about 2 foot from the top of the fence.
Walker Cooper, the old catcher from somewhere, right?
Yeah. He was the Cardinals.
The Cardinals. Now, do you root for Doc Gooden tonight? Are you going to root for Doc, despite the fact...
Yeah, I'll root for him. There's no question about it, but I just don't go along with his principles. That's all.
Have you met Doc, being from Tampa?
No, I don't know him.
And you were quoted as saying today you watch a lot of baseball. Sounds like you do, Johnny. Watch a lot of Atlanta Brave games, huh?
I watch a game pretty much every night.
Oh, you do?
How about that Brave pitching, huh?
They've got great pitching. That's the guts of that ball club. They got outstanding pitching.
Yeah, how about Maddux, Johnny? Give me a little, what's your feelings on how good he is, huh, the last three or four years?
Well, he's been great. He hasn't come up with this year with what he's come up with. I think he's only 4-3 right now, but he plays in them in the game. He strike one. You just, as you watch him, you strike one in every hitter that walks up there.
And that's important.
That's the name of the game.
Johnny, we look at we're talking with Johnny Vandermeer, who pitched back-to-back no-hitters 1938, a feat that I don't think could ever be broken. You'd have to pitch three. So we're talking with him. He's from down in Tampa now, from Midland Park, New Jersey, where the two balls are in a museum there, a little sports museum there, a sports hall of fame. The two balls there in Midland Park, New Jersey, if you ever want to see them. And also, how about the pitching now? We spent a lot of time, Johnny, looking at these scores, 16, 18, all these runs every night now. You have a reason why the pitching's so bad as a pitcher who pitched in the 30s and 40s, why the pitching's so bad in baseball in 1996?
Well, I have a philosophy. Perhaps some people won't agree with me.
Well, what is it? We'd like to hear it.
But the ball they're using now is you can play jacks with. Left-handers hit home runs in left field all day, and right-handers hit home runs all night in right field. That's one reason. And secondly, you got the rug in a lot of the ballparks, and some of the balls are getting through that wouldn't get through on the grass. And
it's true, yeah.
Also, there's too many. The expansion has really hurt the game as far as the player quality is concerned. And of course, it evens out. I won't question that. But
so you think it's worse?
There's too many clubs, and on the top of it, they got 25 players in the club to where we used to have 20. And the caliber of play has got too many holes in it right now.
How about the pitching on 5 days versus pitching on 4 days?
Well, I don't know. I like the 3 days of all my life, and I enjoyed it. And I think five days for a hard thrower like myself would be entirely too much rest. I'll go with the 3 days, and that's what Atlanta's starting to go with.
And Johnny, you only had 3 days off in between your two no-hitters, right?
Well, that's all we ever had.
Only had, yeah, the 3 days.
Did you ever sore arm?
Yeah, I was out from the middle of the 1939 season through the lower middle of the 1940 season. I had a back injury, and it took me a little over a year to come out of it.
Wow. What was the closest, Johnny, after that back-to-back no-hitters, what was the closest you ever came to another no-hitter?
Well, they took one away from me in Philadelphia.
What happened there?
Danny Littweiler hit a ball down to Eddie Juice on shortstop, and he dropped it, picked it up a couple times, and he wasn't very fast, and threw it to first base, and one of those bang-bang plays, and in them days, that's another thing I innovated was they didn't put the hit up on the scoreboard. And after the game, everybody thought it was a no-hitter. They thought it was, you know, an outright error. If you don't get your base hits in your own ballpark, you're not going to get them on the road, that's for sure. And
so did you think you would pitch the no-hitter?
I thought I had one, and so did everybody else in the stand. They tried to change it after the game.
And then after the game, they had ruled it a hit.
After the game, they tried to change it from a hit to an error. And,
right.
And McKechnie stepped in and said, no. He says, we'll just keep it as it is.
What inning was that, Johnny?
It was about the fifth.
Wow.
And you left the field thinking you had pitched a no-hitter?
Well, I knew right away they ran out on the field. Everybody ran out on the field, and then they put the announcement on and said that that wire got a fit, hit in the fifth inning.
Well, what did the scoreboard didn't say? It didn't say runs and hits. It didn't have the. It just had runs. Didn't have
it
hits.
It did from the next day on.
It did from the next day on. So it was a scoreboard that only had zeros for the innings and didn't have any hits.
That's right.
Wow. Wow. And who was the scorer? Do you remember?
Yeah, I just can't call his name off right now.
Yeah, it was an easy name for you to forget, huh?
In fact, he played. He was a sports writer, and he played some minor league ball.
No kidding.
But if you don't get your base hits in your home ballpark, where are you going to get them? On the road? Not a chance.
Not a chance.
Johnny Vandermeer, who had back-to-back, got robbed of another one.
How about that? Johnny, how about the old superstition about not talking to a pitcher in the middle of a no-hitter? Did any of your teammates in the first one or the second one, they not talk to you, or they do talk to you?
That's a no-no.
They didn't talk to you at all, huh?
No, that's a no-no.
Even in a second, not a peep from like a fifth inning on?
Nobody ever does that in any game. That's a no-no.
Yeah, I guess. Johnny, I guess the last thing I would say, when did you start thinking any particular inning in the second one at Ebbets Field when you started thinking about, boy, this is amazing, I could pitch another no-hitter?
No, I didn't think about that in either ball game till the ninth inning. And when the ninth inning started, I just said to myself, I've got 25 good pitches in me, and they're going to hit the best I got. They're not going to hit no sliders, no cheap, slowed-up pitches. They're going to hit everything. I'm going to come at them because they're going to come at me.
So you threw nothing but good old country hardball, huh?
Good old hardball.
Very good. Johnny, well done. Thanks for a few minutes. We really appreciate it, and good luck to you, huh?
Okay, good luck to you all.
Thank you, Johnny. Johnny Vandermeer down in Tampa, over 80 years of age.
Memory like an absolute tack.
Boy, unbelievable. And actually got robbed of a third no-hitter.
How about that, huh? Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.